Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're gonna make fun of people. We're gonna hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, so it's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed broken, the bad apple, the bad seed hanging around. It's bad, 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 law, bad, 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 bad. We are live. And Farrell plays right across the river through the woods from Grandma, keeps her fresh, kush, kush. And she's drinking shots of JMO in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh, people just pass by, drinking, drinking, singing, 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 singing. All my friends come around, flash the party, rants on the main line, with the sun down. What a mess, town to town, rain slanted all over my hands, should be shaking. Ooh, whoa! Did you like that one, Carver High? Fast like that?
Yeah, you brought the heat here tonight on a Friday night, bringing the heat on the open. Let's go.
All right, so do you see what I got here? What do I got? Do you see what that is?
You've got some kind of substance in a can there. What do you got rocking there? A little odor eater?
You gotta bust out the odor eater. Here we go. Oh, God, my feet smell. Holy Jesus. Oh, my God. A fresh, cool, soothing, powdery coolness on my feet. Oh, my God. Feet smell. All right, so I don't even think you can breathe that stuff in without like dying or something. Am I getting some kind of chlamydia or something? Anyway, I sat down and I wear these flip-flops just for years. All these flip-flops I have, just endless arrays of flip-flops. Mostly like cushiony ones, like pillowy ones, because I got such bad interfacial bone spurs and everything from playing basketball. So some of them, when I sweat, the sweat hits the old like access to the flip-flop, the whole cushion and the whole bottom of it. And I mean to tell you, it smells like worse than a landfill. I was sitting here tonight getting ready to do the show. My feet smelled so bad that I had to run and get the odor meter shaking.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I put on a bench. So I was just evaluating with Carver High on a pain-free Friday my foot odor. So here's the deal. I just switched out. I just want you to see these. If you're on the YouTube page, our, we have our own special YouTube page that people can actually watch the show. These are – I busted off new ones. I just broke out the brand new ones because the other ones are Adidas ones, right? And they have like – pillows on them. And when I first got them, they were like that thick. Like, you know, let's say if you're just on the radio, they're like 2.5 inches thick, right? And they're like beds. They're for like really bad feet. Like if you have, you know, plantar fascia, you know, bone spurs, broken feet, you know, Liz Frank, all that stuff. So I get them and they're this thick, right? And then I wear them for a couple of years and then they shrink down and they lose their, you know, they're like a pillow, right? They're like a bed. So, but the difference is as they wear down, they're still good to wear. The problem is that your foot odor stench, your death toke, like foot cack stays on them and just lives there like vermin. It's like a disease on your, like on your shoe. It's just like, just stuck landfill, like knock you over foot odor. I mean, I took it off. I'm like, you know, because sometimes you just have to brave it, you know, and you just have to see if it's bad. So I pulled it up and I gave it a, I took it like this and I was like, just to see how bad they were. I was like, and I mean to tell you, I went, and I mean to tell you, I literally just had 3 birthdays. I aged 3 years. It smelled so bad. I almost hurled. And then I told Carver, I just for fun, I put it in front of my dog's face. My dog ran away. My dog's 120 pounds. He means business. And he just took off running down the street, gone. He may never come back. He smelled my feet and took off running. My wife, when if she goes anywhere near my basketball shoes or my flip-flops, she'll sleep with like 3 other men. I mean, she'll just immediately find lovers because my feet smell so bad. I have the worst foot odor. I have like, honestly, I'm noticing now, like, cause I, you know, I play basketball so much and I ride bikes and I run and I'm always like working out. And Carver High's like, Jesus, he's going to the gym again. What a loser. I'm always in the gym. I'm always working out. I'm always soaking wet, sweating and everything. And then you just, this stuff like breeds, it like lives in your shoes and in your flip flops and whatever, just reeks. I mean, just knock you over, just cack smell. I mean, and tonight I came in here to do this show and I was just sitting here minding my own business. And suddenly I was just sitting here just waiting to go on the air. And I was like, what is that smell? And it was my feet. I almost fell over. It was the worst. But moving on, because I don't even want to start talking about my trousers. I want to talk about, I'm watching this story right now on TV about Steve Bartman. You remember that guy? That's the guy in Chicago that screwed up the Cubs playoff game. Do you remember that one, Carver High?
Yes, that would be the 2003 NLCS.
Right. And then who was it? It was the Marlins against the Cubs.
It was the Marlins at Wrigley.
So I was working in Miami at the time, and I was a Marlins fan, right? You've heard these stories before. I had the Pharrell Ovidian section at all the Marlins games. I was on the Marlins station. Trader Jack was the manager, all the rest. And so I'm watching this game at Wrigley Field, and I was in Miami at the time. And I'm watching this game, and I'm thinking to myself, this is the greatest thing ever that this guy screwed this up. But I never really saw before. I don't think I've seen before. Tonight was that was like the first I've seen of it, of the abuse that he took. Like, so the guy, when they whisked him off the you know, out of the stands into the tunnel at Wrigley Field, like into the, you know, bowels of the stadium to get him out of there. They had like full security bring him out, right? And as he was going out, they were like pelting him with beers and profanities. I mean, they were abusing him verbally. I mean, this guy was getting lit up with the foulest language you've ever heard in your life. I mean, they were threatening him and they're going to kill him. I heard that 1,500 times. Forget about once. How about 1,500 times I heard you're dead? And then literally when he went in the tunnel, there were people like trying to attack him. I mean, they were literally trying to get him and hurt him and beat his face in. And I mean, they were absolutely, you know, these people were evil and just absolutely. How much of a loser do you have to be? Can you imagine if you, like, you know, let's say you skull him, right? Let's say you take him, tackle him, take his head and smack it a few times. Oh, that's a man. And then the guy's head splits open and he dies, right? And then what happens to you? You go to prison for the rest of your life, okay? That's what happens to you. Because they're all standing there, the cops, everybody, right? Security, you're going to jail. And you're going to go to jail for the rest of your life. So can you imagine, like, how stupid do you have to be in life to actually, like, go to a baseball game and then, you know, something like that happens, a ball into the stands, a guy catches it, drops it, costs him the game, whatever. And then you decide, because you've had 15 beers, that you're going to get all brave and like kill him. I'm going to beat his head. I'm going to split his head open. I'm going to kill him. Can you imagine? Because I literally saw people trying to hurt him, like trying to go at him. They were trying to lunge and grab him and hurt him and beat his face in. They were trying to kill him. They were literally, I mean, these Cubs fans were literally trying to kill him. And then we all know what happened, right? This guy, his life was completely destroyed. They ruined his life. Did the guy Carver High not go into like complete hiding, have to quit his job, everything else? He was just like absolutely.
He basically went into witness protection program. I mean, you couldn't go. The guy didn't want to be near anybody. It's basically what happened to him.
Whatever happened to him, like long term, it's been, you know, 17 years. And then I finally heard that they like invited him back to the ballpark. Right. Isn't that what I heard? Like at some point, like a year or two ago, they let him come back.
Because he was off the hook after they finally won. So once they finally won the World Series, they let him off the hook.
Once they won, they apologized to him finally. They're like, it's not your fault. Everything's good. But how about the desperate loser Cub fans in life? Like, how about how you this is what you live for. Let's kill the guy. Let's kill the guy that dropped the ball in the stands, right? Like Alou was supposed to make the catch, right? And the guy interfered with it and he deflected it, right? So Alou never made the catch, right? And so they lost. And then the Marlins won the series, and then they won the World Series, and they beat the Yankees. And obviously Carver High remembers that, because Josh Beckett was just an absolute pimp. Is that about right?
That is exactly what happened in that series. That whole series changed in game four down in Miami when David Wells couldn't get out of his back locked up after the first inning. And right. The series just was never the same after that.
And what game was that? Game what?
I'm pretty sure that was game four. It was right. Either game four or five, but I'm almost positive it was game four.
Wasn't it like game? Am I wrong in saying that game six and seven would have been in Yankee Stadium? Is that about right?
Yeah. Game six was at Yankee Stadium. That's the night that Beckett threw the complete game and shut them down. But if the Yankees would have won that night, yeah, seven would have been in Yankee Stadium too.
But it's like games one and two were in New York, 3, 4, 5, Miami. 6, 7, New York, right? So they won in six in Yankee Stadium. And I'll never forget it. So I was never like a Marlin fan until I lived there and worked there and did the show on QAM, which is the home of the Marlins at the time, right? WQAM's a great station. It was always one of my favorites. I've been syndicated most of my career, and I've been on that station multiple times, 560 in Miami. And then I had problems there. I was working there. I got fired there for controversial statements that were deemed inappropriate or offensive, whatever, indecent. What'd they get me for? Obscenity, hate mongering, everything else. I was found not guilty 3 years later, but couldn't prove it that it was indecent because they were a bunch of idiots and won the case. But I'll tell you more in a second.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
On the bench. I just want to finish this story really quick, and then I'll bring John DeSilva in from Parks, the morning line odds maker. We'll talk about the Belma. So anyway, the Marlins win it all, right? And I'm in Miami doing the morning drive. And so I obviously became a fan that year because of circumstances like this. First, they said, you know, there was absolutely no Marlin fans ever, right? Secondly, no one went to the games ever. I mean, no one ever talked about the Marlins. No one went. It was just a dead scene. It was completely bunk. And so I'm on the radio doing morning drive, and I'm like, you know what? I got nothing better to do. You want to give me a wad of tickets? Why don't you give me an entire section, and I'll promote your baseball team, and we'll have some fun. I mean, because you got no one going to your games. I went to the Marlins. I knew a guy at the Marlins. I said, why don't you just give me a section, and that'll be the end of it. I said, I'll turn your season into something special. So they fell for it. They gave me a section out in left field by the foul pole, literally in the right at the foul pole in left field. We called it the Pharrell Ovidian section. I went to like from July, August into September into the playoffs. I had a full section every night. So the stadium would be empty, and all of a sudden you'd look in left field, you'd see this full section of drunks, people just smoking and partying and drinking and taking their clothes off. And that was me. That was my section. So I'm on the air every day telling these stories about the parties we were having every night. I went to the games every night. I just was like, let's go. Let's do it. And so I did it, and one thing led to another. And to make a long story short, they won the whole thing. I went to every game for like 4 months. Then I went to the World Series and they beat the Yankees. You better believe I became a fan. So I was having a blast. And then they beat the Yankees in New York in game 6. And it was just unbelievable. And then when it was over, they had a party and they invited me to this party. And I was at this party. I had pictures of me with the World Series trophy. I'm just hammered and I'm like naked jumping in a pool. And I got the World Series trophy and I'm holding it. And the Marlins treated me like I was on the team. It was great, and it was just a lot of great memories. So thanks, Steve Bartman. Appreciate it. Glad you're still alive. Glad no one killed you. Pretty funny stuff. Anyway, John DeSilva is my good friend, and he always checks in with me on the weeks of the Triple Crown and the Breeders' Cup and any big horse race, even like you name it. If there's a big horse race around Santa Anita Derby to, you know, $1 million jackpot and Delta Downs, whatever it is, he'll check in with me. And then he asked me this week, he checked in. He's like, you doing anything with the Belmont? I'm like, does a bear cable in the woods? Am I doing anything with the Belmont? I mean, that was the worst question I've ever heard from DeSilva in 25 years. Are you doing anything with the Belmont? I'm like, do I have a massive gambling problem? I mean, am I doing anything with the Belmont? How about I'm going to do everything and then some? How about I'm going to bet it every way, 6 ways till Sunday? How about I'm going to, like, I'm going to bet so much money my wife's going to leave me? John DeSilva's the morning line odds maker at Parks. How you doing, Johnny?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm looking to see how many bears were out there this week.
Yeah, I'll bet. So, listen, I'm just glad you could come on the bench. I have no idea. Oh, I know why. I wanted to put you on the TV show, and the Suits, they got your boy Ed Olczyk, who does the NBC broadcast. One thing led to another, and then I was like, just get him on the radio show at least, because he's going to turn on me. He's going to have me shot or something if I don't get him on. And I don't control the television network, just so you know. Not yet, anyway.
I know. Hey, we got the boys here in Philadelphia. You know, you do me right, we do the right thing.
Right, like, so we could have made a couple phone calls, and that would have been the end of them, and then we could have already been in power. All right, so I want to talk to you about a lot of things concerning this race. I'm going to start with – I'm going to just kind of go down the line, all right? Fair enough. And I want to talk about the last guest on Tap It to Win, 6-1 odds, a speedy horse. You know, the horse won at Belmont a couple of weeks ago. What do you think of this horse and the odds?
He came from out of nowhere. He won that allowance race. Like, who is this horse? I mean, my God, that was one of the best performances I saw all year. I mean, Mark Cassie, his trainer, who got elected to the Hall of Fame this year, he won the Preakness last year, and this guy knows how to get a horse ready to win. And Jordan Drill, he's dangerous, and he's probably the controlling speed of the race. And you're going to have him to catch. And the way things are looking right now, he's going to be tough to catch. But there might be a little something going on to make him lose.
No, I don't even know what that means. I just hope it's something dirty. Anyway, Velasquez certainly experienced on top, and I love horses that are hot. He's won two straight, whatever. But you know, our buddy Cam Stewart in Toronto is big on Soleil Volante, the number two horse, at 9-2, and Panisi on top. And this is a horse, four victories and six starts, and an allowance at Gulfstream 10 days before this race. And, you know, I was talking to Olczyk today about it. Do you like these horses that run a lot before a big event like this?
I do, because I like the experience. And what Bean Cone did, he went old school. Because normally you want 3-4 weeks before a race. He's coming back in 10 days. I mean, Patrick Bean Cone, he's won all over the world. Yes, he did have some transgression a few years ago with cobra venom in the horse, but, you know, what can you do? But Volante, when he won last week, he had a rabbit, the Ete Indian, who set the pace, made sure there's a fast pace, because this horse is a closer, likes to come from off of it. So he made sure that he got the right pace. Now, there is no Ete Indian in the race, but what I said about Tap It to Win might have some company on the front end. The owner of Sol Volante, he also has old horses with Doug O'Neill, who all of a sudden, last minute, decided to take four left out of the Woody Stevens to run him in the Belmont. He's speed. He's the one that's going to do all the dirty work for Sol Volante. So Jose Ortiz does the right thing. He's going to try to set up for Sol Volante to win.
All right, so what we do here is we're going to go through all the horses, and then we'll circle back after the break, and we'll get all of your picks so people can make some money on the Belmont Stakes tomorrow. And it's funny because, you know, John's been doing my show for like 25 years. We're good friends, and we've gone to the track before. We've gone to High Line before. Anywhere where there's betting, John and I end up drunk together and eating and hitting on, like, you know, prostitutes. Are we on the air? So anyway,
yeah. I mean, late double after the Marlins game with the highlight. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Right. All right. So we'll come back when we get back after the break. We'll do all the picks. But right now, let's keep going. So Linda Rice has this Max Player, and Rosario's on top at 15-1. The thing I don't like about this horse is the exact opposite of what I was talking about with Soleil, is that the horse hasn't run since February. When February? I don't even remember February.
I could barely remember February, but at least I got to see this horse run live twice. And she's always been high in this horse, knows that this horse is a long distance runner, not a sprinter. So that's why he came to Philadelphia to run going a mile. The horse has a good running style for it. Joel Rosario is a huge advantage. And you could even buy a piece of the horse this week because he was being offered for sale at one point. I wish he had another race or two under his belt, but I can't just leave him out, because if she's high on it and she's done this far, It may finish the money, so it might be an exotic possibility.
Yeah, I'm not buying that because it's the horse's fourth race in its life. And that's just not good enough for me in a race of this magnitude. Now, I know that it's, twisted and turned around because the Belmont's the end of the Triple Crown. Now it's the first race and it's a mile and an eighth. It's not even its normal distance, a mile and a half. What do you think of just even the fact that it's the first race? What was your reaction to the dates being moved?
It wasn't surprising. There was no way they could have had the race on June 6th. And once the Kentucky Derby moved to Labor Day, they had a problem because you couldn't run it too close to the Breeders' Cup Classic, and you couldn't run it during Saratoga because that's the Travers. So they had to run sometime early, and they had to figure out what would be the best date, and this is why they came up with the 20th. And a lot of people don't like the distance, but you could have up to 16 horses in the race. You can't schedule 16 in the race spot where it's only 14 could fit, which would have been a mile and a quarter. That's why they made it a mile and an eighth.
So why are so many bettors on Modernist, the four horse, Billy Mott, Junior Alvarado riding 15-1? I've heard all I can take. The horse works great in the morning. You know, so do I. I mean, what does that mean? The winner of the Risen Star had a bad run at the Derby in March in Louisiana, finished third, but has won two of his three starts this year. But I don't why is everyone betting on Modernist? I'm not sure I can figure out why.
He's speed. He doesn't have the speed that Tapitouin has. And also a little sentimental thing, because Bill Mott is one win away from 5,000 in his career. So how ironic was it that he wins the Belmont Stakes for race 5,000?
Well, I mean, that would be huge. I actually don't think any bettors, I think horse people know that. I think real horse bettor fans know that. And I don't think the general public, frankly, even knows who Bill Mott is. I mean, the betting American public that just likes watching the Triple Crown, all they know is Bob Baffert. That's what they know. So yeah. I don't think there's a person on the face of the earth besides John DeSilva that knows that guy's going for win number 5,000. God bless him for that. Here's what we're going to do. We'll come back. We got a lot of horses to talk about. Farmington Road, I want to get into, and some of the other. Tis the Law, of course, 6-5 favorite. It has been holding that tag since the jump. Manny Franco is going to ride it. So Dr. Post is a horse that I'm leaning on and liking every minute. The more I hear about this horse, even today with Edzo, I liked it even more. So we'll get into all these horses and their riders and John DeSilva coming up. All right, Pharrell on the Bench. We're talking to my good friend John DeSilva. I've known him forever. He's been on my show forever. He's a badass. He loves betting on horses. He's the morning line odds maker for Parks. They're gigantic, and I watch a lot of their races when I'm at the Meadowlands at the FanDuel Sportsbook. I love horse racing. I love betting on the ponies. Everybody knows that, so it is what it is. Anyway, I just wanted to say really quick, I'm watching this story while I'm doing the show, and now they have a minister on, some chick. She's like the priest or whatever. She's like a minister. A minister isn't a priest. Okay. So a minister is like a pastor of a Methodist church or something like that. A different, or evangelical free or a Episcopalian, whatever. So anyway, not Catholic. So she's the minister. She's doing a thing now on, she followed the story because she was looking for a sermon on scapegoating. Blaming someone for your problems. And they were going to use Steve Bartman as the scapegoat for the Cubs losing to the Marlins. And they bring it. It went all the way into church. We've already covered murder. Now we're talking about the church. And when, oh my God, they're throwing stuff. They keep going back to the well when they show the guy going through the tunnel and people throwing stuff at him and beers and popcorn and candy and everything. The guy was scared to death. Like, it was written all over his face. He's like, get me out of here. He was scared to death. And I don't blame him. It really is a crazy story. All right, John, I want to go back to Farmington Road. I asked Edzo about this horse today, and I was going to ask you about it anyway. I kind of like Todd Pletcher in the Belmont with his, whatever, two or three wins there, and I can't keep track of it. I know he's a Belmont guy. I know he's a New York guy. This horse is 15-1. Second in the Oaklawn in April. Fourth in the Arkansas Derby. Great trainer. Great jockey. Javi Castellano. What's not to like?
He doesn't have early speed. He's going to be too far back early, and he may make a run, but he's not going to be able to get up in time. He disappointed me in the Arkansas Derby. I thought he would run better. He made a threatening move, but just flattened out. He's probably going to do the same thing. He'll make a menacing move on the far turn, but in the stretch, he's going to flatten out and finish off the board.
Four left is Jose Ortiz on top, 30-1, real long odds. Early speed horse, Doug O'Neill is the trainer.
And I think he's going to be the one to put the pressure and tap it to win early and try to make him tired to set it up for the closers. So I don't think this horse is going to – he wasn't even going to run in this race. He's supposed to run into Woody Stevens, which is a 7-furlong race earlier in the card. But he came in here, I think, to help the other horses in the race to tire the speed.
Jungle Runner is 50-1 in the 7-hole and literally has lost his last two races by 40 lengths. How did the horse even get in the field?
Well, when you're desperate to get horses, they're coming. Nasib Asmussen, Hall of Fame trainer, he knows what he's doing. Young jockey, Radio Gutierrez, looking good. But to me, he should not be in this race. He should be running the Ohio Derby next week or the Finger Lakes Derby next month, not tomorrow.
So, you know, that's what I like about you. We think alike a little bit because I'm like, why is this horse in the race? And you're like, I'm trying to figure out why this horse is in the race. This horse should not be running. Tis the Law is definitely the deal, though. It's 6-5. I don't know if it's changed or moved or whatever, but Barkley Tag, the trainer, Manny Franco on top, is the best horse in the field. Are you buying it? You never do.
You have to buy it. I mean, you have to buy it, but he's not going to be my top choice.
I know that. You never pick the favorite.
You know, I mean, this horse, look, you got Sakatoga Stable, Barkley Tag. They gave us Funny Side and that great story. Unfortunately, they had to stay up near Saratoga because Cuomo won't let them bring the school bus to Belmont. So they're going to have a party up there. But this is the Law. He's done everything right. Manny Franco has done everything right. The only thing he had to worry about, Franco has never won a Triple Crown race. Even though he has Hall of Fame jockey Angel Cordero as his agent, Cordero can't help him once he hits the racetrack. And you hope that the nerves don't get to Franco. Because even some of the greatest horses out there with inexperienced jockeys in the Triple Crown race, it could affect them. It could happen to Tis the Law. Look, I'm going to pick him second. He had to give all the respect in the world, but I just had to worry that Franco might make a mistake that could cost him.
You know, honestly, did you just say something about his trainer? Who cares who his agent is? Like, what does that have to do with the horse? I can barely care who the trainer, let alone the agent.
He is a Hall of Fame guy. He's his mentor.
So what?
He gets, mentors can only do so much.
Yeah, he'll be up in the booth drinking. He'll be in a luxury suite drinking when the whole thing goes down. All right, I love this Dr. Post. I told you, I love this horse, another Pletcher horse. If I were to, I'd take Post over Farmington Road at 5-1. Won both of his starts this year. And obviously, Ortiz Jr. is one of the best Belmont jockeys there is, right?
Yes, he is. And you got Todd Pletcher, who's won the Belmont three times already. This is a horse who's won his last two, winning a stakes last time out at Gulfstream Park. He's got a good running style. He doesn't have to be on lead. He'll be in the middle of the pack. The only question is you have to look at the experience factor. But one thing we know about Todd, he definitely knows how to get these type of horses ready to run to win the Belmont Stakes, like he did with Rags to Riches, who he hid from everyone until the day before entries that she was going to run in that race. And basically, Dr. Post, you have to give this horse his respect because you got everything going for this horse, including the breeding, the running style. I mean, this horse is going to be tough here.
All right, so Pneumatic is in the outside in the 10, and he's 8-1. Osmussen is the trainer. Santana Jr. up top. It's an Uncle Mo colt. Any chance at all? Those odds aren't bad. How come no one's talking about this horse?
Which is very surprising, because this is a horse, when he ran third, he lost to Maxfield, who some people thought could have been the favorite in the Belmont Stakes. But unfortunately, he got hurt, and he's out for a few months now. This is a horse he tried two turns for the first time last time out, showed improved speed. Now we're coming back to a one-turn mile and an eighth. Well, you look at this race, two starts back at Oakland Park. This horse came from off the pace, and he was relaxed, so he showed that he could come from off the pace. So now with the cutback to a one-turn mile and an eighth, this horse might be able to do the same thing, come from off the pace and get it all done. Santana, great young jockey, wins a lot of races for Rasmussen, and to me, this is the horse to beat.
Oh, so you like Pneumatic to win it?
I do like Pneumatic to win it.
Wow, listen, look at you. Look at you, John Da Silva. So you're going Pneumatic and then the 8. So you're going 10-8.
I'm going 10-8 with Sol Volante third.
All right, so tell me if you think I'm crazy to go, and this isn't risky at all. I like 8, 9, 10, 2 with Soleil as the my fourth horse. What do you think of that?
It was one that drove me crazy. I wasn't sure what to do with it. The only thing about the 9 I don't like is when you run a mile and 16th at Gulfstream Park, the finish line is earlier than the regular finish line, so it's a shorter stretch. Belmont Park is a mile and a half, so it's the longest stretch in most racetracks around the country. So you just have to wonder if this horse is going to be able to last through that type of stretch after that type of pace he's going to have to deal with. That's why I threw out the 9, because he's never gone a route with the regular stretch drive.
Now, there was better blow down at Gulfstream than at Belmont. So let me ask you this question. What is the deal, and I'm just going to ask it, with Bob Baffert? Like, does this guy cheat or what? Like, how many horses of his are going to fail drug tests before people bust his ass?
Well, right now they're doing the split sample, the testing, because supposedly two horses failed a drug test. Now, one of those horses is running tomorrow at Belmont. If you look at the 8th race, the one horse, Gamine, that's one of the horses who supposedly failed a drug test. She's running in the Grade 1 Acorn, and she's even money. So
wow.
Some people wonder, well, he's scared. Well, if he was scared, he wouldn't send Gamine into the race. Now, supposedly the drug that she tested positive for, it's like an analgesic, is not supposed to be performance enhancing other than block pain, because you do that before you go and treat a wound. So nobody knows for sure what exactly is going on, what's happening. They're doing the split sample. But with Bob Baffert, it's unfortunate, because we don't need this sport to be tainted anymore. It's bad enough we've missed all these months of racing because of COVID. It's bad enough that we had PETA on our butt. It's
right.
Bad enough we had a whole Jason Service, Augie Navarro situation going on, and now Baffert has maximum security, and now he'll never get the benefit of the doubt because Baffert's his trainer. We need some good news finally.
Let's do
it tomorrow by winning with Pneumatic.
Listen, all right, so I don't care about that horse. All I know is that's not the only ones. I mean, this is not just at Belmont, or this is all over the place. California, Santa Anita. Am I making this stuff up? Like, how many people think that he cheats?
Many people think he cheats. They weren't happy when the story about justifying the Jimson Weed came out after the Santander Derby, and nothing was done about it. There were stories about years ago, 7 horses died under his care all around the same time. And
right.
Some people thought that he did something legal at that time. There's a lot of people who are not Bob Baffert fans, and they think that he cheats. But unfortunately, you still have to come up with the evidence. And some people don't think he has enough evidence to convict them of saying he's a cheater.
Do you think that they You know, because I've said this on the show, like they suck up to him on NBC and whatever networks carrying horse racing. It's usually NBC over the last several years. I mean, they literally turn the Triple Crown, every Derby, Preakness, and Belmont turns into Bob Baffert television. Are these people not creative enough to, like, do stories on other people? Like, it's literally Bob Baffert TV with his family and kids. That's all I ever see. Isn't there something else they can talk about in horse racing besides this guy and all of his cheating?
There is, but unfortunately, when you keep on winning, it's hard to go talk about other people because you want to talk about the possible winners. I mean, 2 weeks ago, he had three horses out of the top four in America in the three-year-old division. And now none of them are running in this race. But Baffert will always get the top horses, so he's always going to be talked about and paid attention to.
How come he doesn't have a horse in the Belmont?
He had two that are going to go into the Belmont. Unfortunately, they both got hurt. And the other one that could ran in Santa Anita 2 weeks ago and now run in the Bluegrass next month.
And now that horse is laying around doing meth and smoking blunts in the stables. John, there you go. So real quick, is there anything else? I got 30 seconds. Like, who's your fourth horse? And give me your trifecta, superfecta real quick. I'm running out of time.
10-8-2-1 is my superfecta in the Belmont Stakes. And that horse, we're beating Baffert in the eighth race, by the way. Bet Lucretia, the number two horse in the eighth race, the Acorn.
All right. Text me all the bets and then also the race number. I'm a little bit behind this week. I need to know exactly what number the race is so I can make my bets. And I got to get on my betting app, my FanDuel betting app, and make all my bets tomorrow. So text me everything so I can kick them out to all the fans. John, great job tonight. Always a pleasure. I'll talk to you soon at the next leg. All right.
You got it. Good luck, everyone.
All right, John DeSilva, the early morning odds maker, early line odds maker at Parks. We always have a blast with John DeSilva. I know you're looking for the Belmont Stakes tomorrow, Carver. Carver is going to start drinking at 7 a.m. All right, for all in the bench, good to have John DeSilva on. I'm looking forward to the Belmont tomorrow. I know everybody else is. People just love that stuff. Like, they don't even like horse racing. And then when the Triple Crown comes around, people watch it like every time it happens, right? Like I remember being in Miami or being in New York or wherever, LA, no matter what, when the Derby, Preakness and Belmont run, I stop what I'm doing at that hour and I watch the race no matter what, like just every year forever for like my whole life. I've watched those horse races. And I, no matter what, I'm like the day of the race, I'm like, I go make a bunch of bets. Cause back in the day you had to go to the window, right? You couldn't do it on a phone. You couldn't do a betting app. You couldn't even bet legally. You had to go to an OTB, right? At least here. And, and then other places you had to go to the track to do it, right? You literally had to go to the track. So now it's so easy. You can do it in your bed. You can do it on the toilet, right? So the race day, I'm just like, oh, man, the Belmont's today. Let's go. And I just go and I get a bunch of tickets on it. I bet a bunch of money. And then it's what it is. I've hit a few of these races over the years. And John has hit races before with us, big races, you know, Triple Crown races. I think the best day he ever had with me, if I remember correctly, was at the Breeders' Cup, where he raked on like, I don't know, four races in one day for us. Like, I don't even remember how many they run. Like, what is it, 10 or 12 races or something? He hit four of them and made just a fortune for people on the bench. And he's hit a few Triple Crown races for us. And then he's had bad days, just like everybody else, right? I've seen everybody lose at the track. So the day we were at the Meadowlands, we bet on Jovia, and we all ripped up our tickets. We all fell for it because of me. That horse finished third at the Belmont last year. That was a great horse. He ran the other day, too. I don't know how he did. He ran at Aqueduct, like, last weekend because my buddy told me that the horse was run. We'll come back hour two on the bench.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This Valentine's Day, create a space that feels warm and welcoming with help from Menards. Whether it's a small refresh or a big project, Menards has the tools and materials you need. Build something together and make your home a place you both love coming back to. Don't forget the sweets for your sweetheart. Get a 6-ounce bag of Russell Stover chocolate candies for $3.99 now through February 14th. Save big money and finish your projects together at Menards.
Save big money